Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Thursday morning on the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9. Again, back in studio for the fastest 2 hours in radio. Hope I don't sound too, nasally, as they say, a little banged up, nothing horrible, and ready to rock and roll with my man, Smoking Joe Patrick, sitting alongside me for 2 hours.
Steak.
Getting out of the heat in Flowery Branch, right?
Yeah. Good to be back. It's like seeing, old friends or something. It's like I went on, started dating somebody else for a little bit. Now I'm back in the studio here with you. So,
it's good.
We have a lot to report.
Yeah, no doubt. It's like, what happened to Joe? Is he hanging out with somebody new? Nobody's heard from him. Nobody's talked to him. You've been out there for what, about 2.5 weeks?
Maybe closer to 3 weeks. But yeah. It's been fun. It's been an exciting training camp with obviously a fresh quarterback in Michael Penix. And obviously there was a lot of involvement with him yesterday at practice and just seeing this team develop. It's an exciting team. It's exciting to go through a training camp when you're seeing an NFL offense that you expect to be one of the better ones in the NFL.
Did you feel that way 4 years ago when Marcus Mariota and Arthur Smith? No, I'm being like, the beautiful thing about football and the National Football League is pretty much for 20, at least 20, maybe 25 teams, you can convince yourself that you got a shot, right? And I've done that. I made that mistake with Mariota. I made that mistake with Desmond Ridder. I mean, last year, for sure, we were having the conversation of finally we fixed what ails us on offense because we have a super accomplished quarterback coming off. Now, he's coming off an injury, but he's also coming off some ridiculous numbers. So, I get myself, and maybe I'm a little jaded, right? It's like being on those dating apps and think you met the right one, and then you realize, oh, most of them just lie to me. starts out pretty good for a couple of weeks, and then it's all going to – so I don't disagree at all about the offensive, but I also – I would argue it was exciting last year. It was just as exciting last year because what we were talking about is we just went and got the number one free agent, and we've got these same pieces. We got Bijan, we got Kyle, we got Drake. We added Darnell Mooney. We knew we had Tyler Allgeier. We knew we had a veteran offensive line. I mean, those guys are all the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then maybe as bad a season as any Falcon fan can remember, just in terms of how it played out, blowing the 6-3 record and having the quarterback benched and not making the playoffs and not finishing over 500. So my point is I'm a little jaded, although I certainly like what I'm seeing on the offensive side. It's kind of a no-brainer. There's talent across the board.
Totally understandable. And I'll be honest, like I have a little bit of that myself, and it's been a good learning experience for me as a reporter over these last few years to understand the lies sometimes that you'll be told or maybe just like the hopes that you're getting from the coaching staff. But the biggest difference for me this training camp versus any of the other ones I've been a part of, I've been covering the team since 2022, so that was the year that they brought in Marcus Mariota, is you are seeing the explosive plays happening in practice, and you see a quarterback that wants to push the ball downfield, which is diametrically opposed to a lot of what we saw, especially from Desmond Ridder. But, even last year with Kirk Cousins, for as exciting as he was, and you could see the professionalism that he brought to that really young offense, he was a little bit limited even still in terms of being able to really push the ball downfield with the leg injury that he had. So
I've never seen a guy that I felt less comfortable in terms of handling pressure. Like you just knew he was going to stand on his spot. They knew to not call plays that had him trying to be too athletic at all. He was never super athletic, but you could see, I remember in the Pittsburgh game thinking, it doesn't mean he didn't have some great games, but you knew you were limited. You knew check down Charlie was in play for sure. Mm-hmm. And now, Michael Penix Jr., just based on his college numbers alone, no higher completion rate, 20 yards down the field. That's where he's really, you know, that's the workout that they watched in Washington, which had them blow up their whole notion of where they were going to go in the draft, right?
Right, I mean, totally. Yeah.
You know, they went out there and saw something in that arm and that athleticism and that competitiveness and said, yeah, this is unconventional. We already got a quarterback and we're spending a lot of money, but we have to take him. Mm-hmm. That's what you're seeing now on 80% of the snaps.
Yeah, and the quarterback that Penix is compared to most often, whether it's from the coaching staff or, you know, maybe other national pundits who probably have talked to Zach Robinson and some of the coaching staff, is Matthew Stafford. And he kind of had that same reputation coming out of Georgia where maybe not the most accurate guy in terms of, like, he's not going to finish a game with, like, 75% completion percentage necessarily. And that's also not what you're looking for Matthew Stafford to do. When he was coming out, he was a total gunslinger, pushed the ball down the field, and that's the kind of quarterback that Michael Penix is. And on that note about the inaccuracy, like, I think there's two different kind of ways to talk about it, because, like, you know, old Stafford, I don't think that Michael Penix is expected to go out and complete 75% of his passes, but if he can be accurate enough down the field and create those very high-value offensive plays for the team, then that's going to outweigh any kind of inefficiencies that he has in some of these other areas of his game. And so I think that that's what really excites this Falcons coaching staff right
now. Yeah, and the obsession with Drake London. I mean, yesterday, what was it, 45% of every throw was headed in Drake's direction?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he knows that's the best, you know, maybe the best hands in the NFL, but certainly the guy that, you know, if ever there is a third down scenario, he is the definition of where you want to go. And, I mean, he's not even pretending. Maybe Kyle Pitts, as Drake gets doubled, which he will a bunch during the year, becomes more of that outlet. But right now, he knows what he has in Drake London.
He's a receiver that is really, it seems to me, is built to be like a machine, like very high volume receiver in this league because of the big body that he is, the big target that he is for the quarterback, but also able to absorb punishment when he's catching the ball in the interior of the field. And he's shown a lot more of that, especially off the play action game this training camp versus, you know, last year we saw him having a lot of success on the outside the numbers routes, especially when Penix came back in. But he's really a very versatile receiver. He's maybe not the explosive receiver that we see some of these other top receivers are, like Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, these types who can create those, you know, athletically dynamic explosive plays. But Drake can still get it done just in a very different way. And I think in a way that's going to be a lot more amenable to a young quarterback that maybe doesn't have the precise accuracy that guys like Joe Burrow and those kinds of quarterbacks have.
Yeah, I mean, watching Drake London, even at practice, and when you get close enough that we've been the last few days, I mean, he looks like, you know, he could be an outside pass rusher on defense. I mean, his size and his athleticism, he's just a unique, unique talent.
We talk about Kyle Pitts having this kind of unique size and stuff for a tight end. Like, honestly, Drake looks very similar just physique-wise to Kyle Pitts, but he's a lot faster, can separate more. And so,
better route runner by far, obviously. Yeah, and that's, you know, I was watching Kyle Pitts yesterday thinking about, like, you know, what are they running for him? How precise is he with his routes? How serious is he taking practice? All those things. When we come back after the break, we'll get more into the fights. There were a lot of them. The Michael Penix situation. He had some great quotes. Perfect day to get him after practice. But it was a spirited 2 days for sure. That was the day to be there. If you were going to venture to training camp, that was the day to be there the last 2 days.
Yeah, and it was really exciting on Tuesday to see the team just come out and flat out dominate a Titans team. And the Titans, you know, it was probably down to them partially just not being fully mentally and physically ready to go. It's been a long slog for them. They were in Tampa last week doing joint practices, and then they had a road preseason game. They have not even been home. They've just been on a 2-week-long road trip in the middle of training camp. So understandably tough for them, but the Falcons came out and did exactly what you would have hoped, which is for them to dominate, and especially on the defensive side of the ball. You know, they've got this number one overall pick in Cam Ward at quarterback, and this Falcons defense was swarming. They were getting their hands all over the ball, knocking balls out in fumbles and intercepting Cam Ward. So
yeah, you got to make them uncomfortable. That's what you do with a freshman the rookie quarterback.
Yeah,
that's why the Titans are going to take their lumps big time.
Yeah,
I mean, that's one of the least.
It's going to be strong.
Revered team all year is going to be. I mean, Titans, you know, you start talking about worst teams in the NFL. You hear Saints, you hear Titans, you just hear that they are going to have to struggle through a rookie quarterback.
And he's got Calvin Ridley as an outlet, but he had a great day, especially yesterday. He was impressive, and I think he looks physically as good as I can remember him looking, to be honest. But when he's the only outlet, like we've seen that in Atlanta, you know, just like when you have not enough weapons around these guys that, you know, defenses can scheme that up and clamp those guys
down. Yeah, they're going to game plan against them, and you also have a rookie. So, listen, forget about the Titans. It's all about the Falcons. We'll have more on Penix. Let's do a 9 at 9. We talked a lot about the Falcons. Let's turn to the Braves, where they have a pretty good night on the road in New York. Offense been pretty good of late, last week or so, seeing some great signs. Michael Harris is the second, of course.
Exactly. You got to. It feels like the Braves' offensive turnaround, relatively these last few weeks, even though the pitching hasn't been there, has been, you know, largely down to Michael Harris getting it turned around. And every Braves fan obviously loves to see that because, you know, he's locked up in this long term contract. I was in particular worried about it being some false gold or whatnot, some fool's gold. But now he's made a major adjustment at the plate, and it's reaping great rewards for him.
Yeah, so they get a 9-run fourth, I believe it is, last night. The offense has been markedly improved in the second half, and the reality is of who they have to throw every night. So, you know, you're not in a position to go on an 8 out of 10 run with that pitching staff, but still great to beat the Mets. The Mets are now, I believe, 2-12 in their last 14 games.
Maybe the Braves season is over, but if you can spoil things for the Mets as much as possible, that's always a great feeling for a Braves fan.
Yeah, do we get, you going to give me a score in the Atlanta Dream last night?
Dream won by 10 over the Storm.
Yeah.
85-75.
Yeah, maybe the best, well, certainly the best Dream team we've ever seen. That was a big win on the road. Alicia Gray's won their third Eastern Conference Player of the Week, a star, obviously. And they've, I think, won 5 in a row.
So they're in first place, 21-11.
Yep. Been a long time since we had a WNBA team that looked like that. What else we got to update you on? The whole world, you talk at 9 at 9. Obviously, Taylor Swift showing up on the Kelce's broadcast.
So I had over 1 million live viewers at one point, I think.
Broke the internet, dude. I mean, releases her album next to her boyfriend. Explains what it's going to be, goes through each title, then talks a ton of football. I know folks like to be cynical and poke holes, but, you know, in a world filled with, diatribes on the internet, sometimes it's like those are just a lot of talented people together. And Jason Kelce was awesome. I don't listen to them all the time. I know a lot of people, that's their number one podcast, but yesterday was next level. And the NFL, by the way, you go to NFL Instagram or the NFL.com, they have more Taylor Swift on there. You would think that it was Pat Mahomes or Joe Burrow. There's 8 different cuts of her on that show. They know exactly where their bread is buttered, and that's the biggest star in the world who is hooked up with an NFL player and, you know, releasing her
literally
album.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, for sure. That's our 9 at 9. When we come back, why Michael Penix said you crossed the line. You crossed the line and somebody has to pay. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. .923. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro. Smoking Joe Patrick here as well. Caleb's here. Bo's here. We've got a motley crew assembled.
Bo's here. Rolling deep today.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot going on at Flowery Branch. I had that ride, 50-minute ride every morning, getting to Zen Place, call mom, just get ready for training camp. You could be looking at, 100-degree weather or storms or whatever else. And, we were at a weird time because I was right in the middle of practice. It's not like we not get anybody, but also practice going on behind us.
Right.
So you're getting updates from Mike Bell. I mean, yesterday that fight was just the buzz of training camp. Really, this is not Caleb McGarry swinging with James Pierce. This is like two teams and Michael Penix at the bottom of a pile. Boy, that spread like wildfire when that was going
on. Terry Fontenot was even in the midst. Yes. I didn't see it personally, but I trust people who said that they saw him in there. And I mean, he was on the sideline, so he would have been.
And Arthur Blank is there yesterday with Josh, the eventual owner of the Falcons as well. I would imagine it doesn't have a warm feeling for the owner of the team to see his quarterback on the bottom of a pile.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that was a heart and mouth for a lot of people at Falcons facility yesterday, but all's well that ends well, I suppose, right? And he didn't get hurt.
I mean, we're going to hear from Penix in a second. It's just, if you think about Arthur, and I was thinking about watching him yesterday, and I would think about having covered him now from the very first day he was owner. I was in New Orleans when I think it was Taylor Smith handed over the reins to him, and it was a tiny little press conference at the Fairmont Hotel in New Orleans at the Super Bowl when Arthur Blank announced, I think he's buying the team for, remember what he bought for, $500 million, I believe it was?
I have no idea what it would have been. But
I mean, we can look it up, but I think it's around $500 million now. It's worth north of $4 billion, whatever it was. But, you know, the family and the mindset of, you know, not only what he built, him and Bernie Marcus with the Home Depot, one of the great stories in you know, in the corporate world in history, but a guy that came in there as a fan, a guy that came in there as a big football fan, as a big Falcons fan, and now to be up there in age, having to suffer, and that's the way to put it, suffer through seven, now is it seven straight out of the playoffs, and is it also seven straight under 500, or just seven?
I believe so.
Seven because under 500.
They shouldn't have been, like last year, they could have gotten above 500, but they lose that final game of the year to a team they're better than in the Panthers.
Yeah, seven game win, seven, and then it's the eight. Yeah,
eight,
they don't even get over
nine,
8-9 last year. So, I mean, listen, you're going to make decisions. You know, you're not going to make with a salary cap and with, you know, the pain that we've had years ago with locking guys up that crushed you in terms of going to get new talent and you freed yourself up from the cap and all that. You're not going to make hasty decisions. But I would imagine there is some level that Terry Fontenot, who knows that he is on thin ice to some degree, he's been, you know, at the reins and not seen a playoff moment yet, and Arthur Blank are in the same reins of we've got to win now.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Penix is under a rookie deal. There is no greater gift in all of professional sports than a guy that you're going to eventually have to pay $60 million, $50 million, insert number, that you're paying, you know, basically the league minimum for a number, you know, eight pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, you know, you're cycling out of a Bijan contract. You're cycling out of a Drake contract. You're, you know, obviously having to show your fan base that, you know, this is moving in the right direction. The level of urgency is just so profound. And again, it's a cliched sports talk term because I've been doing this for years. And there's not many years we don't go, the pressure is there. You know, there's years we've shown up and said, let's get this thing going. And it's not going to be a phenomenal year. But the pressure wasn't at the same level that I think it starts. 1 o'clock kickoff against Tampa. Yeah. That many think is an outside Super Bowl contender just because they're so consistent over the years, and showing your home fan base, showing off this offense, and that, yes, all these years of number one picks, of top 10 picks, of stockpiling talent, of stockpiling an offensive line, that all of that has finally come together, and here is our product.
Mm-hmm.
Let us deliver you that product in week one of the NFL season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the longer you have these stretches of failures, the more pressure gets built up, especially in the NFL when there's so many eyeballs and you have all these star players that you're amassing because of the point you're collecting all these great draft picks and you've got all this talent.
Yeah, what do you think Drake London is going to command, or Bijan Robinson, given the years they're about to have? And barring an injury, listen, we're homers to a degree. I think we're also realists, especially you. There are not three or four players better than those guys at their position. You could be talking about the best back in football in Bijan. It's certainly a different kind of back, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of his versatility, and certainly top two or three wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they're going to get paid.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have them right now. So you damn, you know, you don't have a number one next year.
Yeah. And when you're in the midst of this stretch, this stretch of failures that the Falcons have had, you need to acquire players that have the personality to be able to take on the challenge of, we're going to change this dynamic. It's going to be us.
Yeah.
And we relish that challenge of going out there. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why they go out and draft a guy like Drake London instead of, you know, maybe a Garrett Wilson. Nothing against Garrett Wilson, but I think they just love that kind of competitiveness and fiery spirit that Drake London has.
Well, I mean, you're seeing why he was such an elite athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, basketball player background and everything else. It also is a vibe around Michael Penix Jr. It reminds me a little bit about what Georgia rallies around Gunnar Stockton. I think there is a closeness. I think he's closer in age to those guys. You hear that a lot as well.
Yep.
I think they think he is a baller. And yesterday, after practice, he talked a lot about his teammate. He also talked about never being in the middle of a brawl in all his years of playing football like that one.
I don't remember. I'll tell you, I don't be remembering. Like, it's just these. I don't know who that is. I don't remember, to be honest.
Was it like that?
I don't think I had that on the field before. I never had that situation on the field before.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was.
Not on the field, yeah.
Yeah, this was not your everyday scrum. This was another level, and he tries to give us some reason why he knows the place for him is not in the middle of that. He knows that's his offensive lineman's job, but it was a matter of respect.
Football is a competitive sport, so, like, I like to compete at a high level. And when I compete, I don't really do too much talking until somebody says something to me. And then maybe I want to, okay, I threw a touchdown. Now what y'all talking about? Like, and then I guess not everybody take that the right way. And I think that's all it was. They probably looked at me as just a quarterback. I wasn't that type of person. But I'm from Tampa.
And his point is what he's trying to say about Tampa.
Well, he's saying, like, you're not just going to invoke my name. You're not going to call me and then not expect me to you know, come back at you.
I think saying that Tampa, although I wouldn't necessarily, that's not exactly like being from Newport News where Mike Vick is from,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think his point is I'm a Florida kid that is not going to be effed with, and you said something that just got me. He says he, like, blacked out. He doesn't even really remember part of it. He also says he loves seeing his teammates have his back.
It's great, you know, to know that, you know, I got people that's behind me, got my back, and is going to be there no matter what. And a lot of guys came up and checked up on me because they saw I was at the bottom of the pile, and they just make sure I was good. And, you know, I was like, I'm good, like, let's practice. But it's great to know that I got people that got my back.
At the bottom of the pile. It just still is striking to me that this team's starting quarterback is at the bottom of a dog pile.
An elbow gets wrenched.
Yeah.
An ankle gets twisted.
A finger gets caught in a face mask.
I mean, who gets blamed if something like that happens? I mean, I would assume, you know, Arthur Blank, the level of anger. I mean, Michael Penix, at the end of the day, has to be smarter than to get in the middle, but he says he kind of blacked out. But I promise you, he would have heard it from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
His head coach, his GM, are you kidding me that you let it get to this, that my quarterback is on the bottom of a pile and may be banged up?
And these coaches and, I know Caden Ellis mentioned it, this aspect of, like, competitive greatness. I mean, I think this is, like, what great quarterbacks, in particular the quarterback position, you have to have this ability to go in front of the media and be calm in certain situations, whether that's in the huddle or whatever. But when you're actually, when the whistle blows and the bullets are flying, like, that is when you, like, the competitive spirit comes out of these guys. It happened with Tom Brady. It happened with Peyton Manning, the best of them. And I'm not putting Michael Penix on that level, but I'm saying you have to have that kind of personality and that ability to be able to control yourself.
Yeah, I would say, having watched enough of some other guys, and listen, Marcus Mariota's a really nice guy, but Marcus Mariota, watch that QB show from a few years ago.
Right.
And then think
great
about
point.
What was lacking. And mm-hmm. what was lacking is the respect of his teammates, the fire, the brimstone, the ferociousness of which, I mean, I don't know why Brady's been trending so much lately. He's doing, like, all these podcasts. Just the swagger and cockiness that he is talking about, I want to make everybody pay. I want to make everybody feel the pain of not drafting me, feel the pain of underestimating me. I think Joe Burrow has a little bit of that
him this year.
To say, I don't know what that was last year.
A lot of these guys have faced adversity in their careers. Joe Burrow was at Ohio State and buried on the depth chart, and we're stuck behind Justin Fields, and he goes out and he proves that he's the best college football player in the country at LSU and has continued to do it. And I think that Michael Penix also, you know, he's had these injuries, had to transfer
schools. Yeah, let's remember that Michael Penix had to play in a national title game when he was completely banged up and injured, right?
Yep.
The semifinal game.
And was dragging his team there.
Was the Texas game that he just goes crazy?
Texas, he goes off.
Dude, look at the tape on that, and just dream about that in the Mercedes-Benz in a playoff game when he's feeling good, right? You know, he doesn't have to play wild card weekend. And does the lowest division winner play wild card weekend? It's just, I'm trying to remember what that is.
That's good.
I think so. Yeah, you wouldn't have the week off.
Bo's giving affirmative. Yeah,
he'd be playing. So he's not getting a week off in week 18. Unless they win the division. All you want to do is say, Michael Penix, whatever condition was for the Texas game in the semifinals, the national title, before you got so banged up and in the net blown out, whatever that was, be in that state. And we'll come back. We'll talk some college football, obviously. So in the house. A lot of things happening at the radio station we'll update you on as well. And it's the fastest 2 hours in radio. Sports Radio 929 The Game. 940 Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro, Smoking Joe Patrick in the house. Saturdays or Sundays? I ask folks that question down south. If you're in Pittsburgh, it's not much of a conversation. It's Sundays all the way. It's the Steelers. If you are in New England, I don't think that they're arguing about Boston College football, right? Now, in Detroit, Michigan, where, you know, it's the Wolverines and the Lions, would have been probably closer years ago to Michigan winning that, right? Now the Lions are one of the juggernauts.
Right, right.
But down here, it's a little different. I mean, obviously, the history of the Falcons does not lend itself to the level of fandom of Northeast cities or cities like San Francisco that have had massive success, or Dallas, where the Cowboys are the biggest icon. But, you know, I hear both ends of it.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the NFL is way more competitive than college football. The amount of college football games that are not competitive is way more than the NFL, where I don't know what the stats are. 70% of every game goes down to the final possession.
Right.
You know, something where the games are 3 hours. College games can be 4 hours, like literally. Those 3:30 starts sometimes end at 7:20. There's more delays, it feels like. The NFL has it like clockwork, that 1:01 kickoff, and you're basically out by 4 o'clock. And it is a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful packaged product with incredible television sport. And, you know, but it's hard to compete when I ask that question in a city where Auburn alum and Clemson alum and Bama alum and Georgia and Tech and, you know, Carolina or insert, you're all driving distance. You go into those games. There's nothing like your college team being good or in the mix.
And the game day experience in the SEC and ACC, in the Southeast, college football, like hard to beat that game
day blowout experience. The blowout factor, if we're going to have both columns, is, I mean, let's be honest, guys. Atlanta Falcons pregame is got to be like, it ain't higher than 25th or 26th in the league, right? Compared to a day at Sanford Stadium or even, you know, Tech on the right day for the right game. I mean, we just have never had it. That gulch is never been conducive. Less sitting in a dank parking lot, have your kid run, you know, a 22-yard curl around metal poles, right? I mean, it's just as never. You know, I've never been to Kansas City, and I've never been to Buffalo, and those are absolute bucket list moments to be able to do that. But, I mean, it's just a massive blowout for college in these neck of the woods when it comes to pregame.
It's a shame because, like, I mean, I remember when I was in high school going to Falcons games in the Gulch and loving that stuff.
Yeah.
But you can understand why for, like, a family and just for, you know, various peoples, it's not the most kind of enticing thing. And it's, like, also part of it is, I think, maybe it's an excuse, but it's, like, the day of the week. Like, on Saturday – you can
get after
you're not
more.
Worried about how much you're drinking.
Yeah, you know? But they don't worry about that in Philadelphia.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's like
definitely in Buffalo.
you don't see the spreads at the same level. Listen, there's areas, I get it. I've known these Falcon fans a long time on the other side of the stadium, away from the Gulch, that are old school. We've done our shows from there. 92.9 spends a lot of time. But that's just a big advantage. You know, but Sundays, you know, between fantasy college doesn't exist. Between the red zone, which is, I would argue, you know, I call myself the fastest 2 hours in radio. There is nothing that moves faster for two dudes than to sit on a couch from 1 to 7 and watch, what's his name, Scott Hansen, do red zone.
It's like
nothing moves faster in the world.
Football into your body.
Yeah, and it moves at a level that college football just doesn't have.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have a thought on that, but I know, you know, people are always so adamant about one or the other. I think, you know, listen, I think Northeast people that grow from certain NFL towns will say it's close. I think down here, if you grow up, we'll talk about the tailgate coming up here in a second. I think you're going to be like, give me a break, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you know. It's an all-day thing. I start at 8 a.m. We're kicking off at 3:30. Matter of fact, we're kicking off at 8 o'clock. I'm kicking off at 8:30 a.m., right, which will be the case for the Alabama game and what's going to be happening. And, you know, and I just know from my daughter, who is a, you know, damn good dog there in Athens, what these big home games are going to mean. So just tossing it out there, if you got a definitive Saturdays or Sundays, or what is there something we're not thinking about? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. 2-9. There's been a lot of attempts, right? The Home Depot backyard and Northside Drive and now the Gulch, which is going to be going away, to get game day for our NFL franchise. But what comes first? A history of winning. That helps. A successful football team. A better environment to do it. How do you make Sundays more relevant? All of that is something the Falcons have been desperately trying to do
and
for years.
I do wonder if, you know, the fact that there is such entertaining and great college football experience in the Southeast maybe hurts some of these teams' NFL game day because they've already spent a full day
out
spending money.
Entertainment dollars only go so far.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is no question.
Because I think you said the Panthers, you know, like do any of these teams in this SEC country really have that like truly vibrant game day experience for the NFL like you're talking about with Philadelphia and Buffalo?
I would also say this. There's nobody in the National Football League that has to combat the Saturday fatigue dollars, wrap it all up like Atlanta.
Right.
Right. Because Miami's not, you know, Miami played college football. It's not 20 different. Like here, my Falcon fan went to Auburn. My Falcon fan went to Bama. My Falcon fan went to South Carolina or Tennessee or Georgia Tech. Like, you know, that's not necessarily the case in Carolina. Right. Nashville, like we're the melting pot of all that.
Yeah.
So that's also something the Falcons have had to contend. And there's only so many entertainment dollars. It's just like the NBA and the Hawks. Listen, they know their relevancy. Forget about Christmas Day. They just want football season to be over.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look at what they're dealing with. They have the most exciting team they've had in forever. But let's be honest, how much Hawk talk will go on until Georgia plays it out, Tech plays it out, Falcons play it out, the whole deal.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I know I've talked to Caleb Johnson, who's here in the producer studio today, talking about how, like, you know, it feels like these NBA teams across the board are just trying to, you know, survive. Like, they're playing the games, they're building the team, but they kind of understand that there's not going to be that huge public interest in them until after football.
There are some powers that be that just as soon start the season literally in January and run it into August,
start
late
it
summer.
On Christmas Day, have that but, beer open.
Yeah, no, that has been a talk. It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
you're not going to play. But guys are like, you know, who are smart programming, corporate guys are like, explain to me what the downside when sports is dead to playing our NBA finals or starting our season in January. Anyway, I'll take your calls on that. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Is there a definitive Saturday versus Sunday in your head? We can chat with you about that. I would like to hear some passion where it's a no-brainer. But while we're in this segment, let's do some college football. A lot has been written of late about the it's not a quarterback competition between Ryan Puglisi and Gunnar Stockton. Even though Kirby will not name the starter in the same manner in which Alabama just named their starter and other schools have. But we know it's going to be Gunnar Stockton. We know that he has secured the satisfaction or the camaraderie,
the trust
of the trust of the team. But I have been through so many Georgia football seasons, from the Jacob Eason's of the world to, I think, DeJuan Mathis or, you know, shockingly, some guys that, you know, are your day one starter and how things play out. Now, last year it played out that Carson Beck gets injured end of the first half, and next thing you know, you're trying to win a national title with a kid that has never started a game before. That's a tall task. Numerous times, Stetson Bennett, a great example, where you start on the depth chart is not where you end up.
Mm.
And they are saying that Ryan Puglisi understands there is a very good chance he will be under center running this Georgia football team. I'm not talking about the Marshall and Austin Peay games, where, of course, he'll be on the field and he'll be throwing it around because those are going to be blowout wins. But that the way these seasons play out, and especially if you look at the physicality, I'm just watching this any given Saturday, the amount of injuries these starting quarterbacks and all these SEC teams, when you're playing NFL-level linemen running at the highest speed, your schedule now is once you get into the SEC, we get Texas A&M, then we get Oklahoma, then we get Florida, then we get Georgia, then we get Bama, and Vanderbilt used to suck. They don't suck. So the chances of injury are very much at the same level of the NFL, and all word is that Ryan Puglisi is preparing that he is going to be a big part of this season as well.
Well, yeah, and especially if Gunnar Stockton is putting his body on the line like he was when he had his opportunity last year because
Bobo,
you know, he cannot play like that if he wants to survive.
Bobo and company are going to say, like, live for another play.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest thing is ball security. You know, Kirby's talked about it for years. Ball security, Boba's going to talk about it. How about just body security, right? Don't put yourself in a position. It will be fascinating with this group of wide receivers to see how much they open it up for Gunnar Stockton and company to try to be a more explosive offense.
And I think that the talking about Gunnar Stockton putting his body on the line, I do think that like doing that stuff when he had the opportunity last year helped earn the trust and loyalty of his teammates, where they saw he was willing to go that far. But yeah, to your point, he's got to, if this Georgia football team wants to have, you know, the successes that they want, he's got to be able to protect himself.
Yeah.
And you can't wax poetic enough or go deep enough into the schedule. You know, we could do an entire 2 hours. Yeah, they're not opening with the big boys. There's no Clemson and Mercedes-Benz. It's two scrimmages, Marshall and Austin Peay, back-to-back 3:30 starts, otherwise known as my daughter has a chance to get ticket games, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I might be able to secure a VRBO and not have to, you know, trade in my car or something like that because those two games are accessible. The game at Tennessee, when you start to understand what's at stake in terms of them being close the last couple of years. Last year they came in here and got absolutely whooped in one of the biggest games we've had here in a long time. Then Georgia gets the week off before Alabama. A very, very tricky stretch that I want to share with you, Joe, is the Alabama game will be the night game hyped up as any game we've seen there in forever. We all know the nightmare of Alabama with Nick Saban. Now it's Kalen DeBoer. We all know what happened last year in Tuscaloosa. So you survive that game one way or another. Then you are hosting Kentucky, a trap game always, if ever there was.
It always is.
And it's a noon game. So not only is your student body not properly fueled up, but maybe it's a sleepy kind of deal at noon. Then you go on the road at Auburn, and Hugh Freeze is still looking for a signature moment. That comes the following Saturday. And after that, it's Ole Miss coming to Georgia before you get the bye in Florida. So it's Bama, Kentucky at home, on the road at Auburn, and then Lane Kiffin. It's a four-game stretch. The sandwich, the pieces of bread are Alabama and Ole Miss and your home building. The inside of the sandwich is Auburn and Kentucky. That's what the SEC is about, and that's going to be a critical stretch for Georgia.
Yeah, that's what I think what separates the SEC is, like, obviously you have these big showpiece games, like the Georgia-Alabama, which is probably going to, you know, start the narrative for either one of those teams that wins it and loses it, frankly, as to how their season's going to go. But it's those Kentucky games. It's those games where there's plenty of trap games in the SEC throughout these team schedules.
You know, when you watch any given Saturday, and they're focusing on the lesser thans.
Right.
Right? So it's the Vanderbilt program. It's the South Carolina program. It's the LSU program. The Auburn programs. A lot of them, or certainly a couple of them, are having bad years. I mean, South Carolina is struggling. Disaster for Auburn. But listen, these are four-star fives. They just are looking for one moment, two moments.
Right.
You know, if they have a 5-7 season at Auburn, it's not a good season, but they point to a win over Ole Miss when they were number 8, a win over Tennessee, they were number 5. We won at Georgia, they hadn't lost there in however many years. Everybody's rolling into Athens saying, if we could be the one to end that winning streak, our season is made. And the reality is there's enough talent that on those Saturdays, because of how deep the SEC is, you're going to get a mediocre 6-6 team against an exhausted top-tier team that just has their day.
Yeah. We saw last year with, Vandy, Alabama. You know,
and almost damn near against Texas.
Yeah.
You want to talk about what program benefited best from that show? It's Clark Lee and the Vanderbilt program, where they're trying to convince them we're going to be the best program in America. Made Nashville look really cool. Made Vanderbilt. You know, it's funny, I went to Tulane, and the big joke there is when we started getting good a few years ago and went to the Cotton Bowl, is the kids would be chanting, football school, football school, you know, mocking the history of one of the most moribund. You know, Vanderbilt, like, that's a big sell. We're a football school. We have Diego Pavia. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, the swagger on that kid.
Yeah.
He is Johnny Manziel. Not so light.
He's the Jersey Shore version of Johnny Manziel.
Dude, he has got a swag. Yeah, he's got a swag and an attitude coming out of New Mexico. He's fascinating. So, I don't know, man. It's back to the question. We'll take some calls Saturday or Sundays. Give me something definitive. Like, dress me down that I even ask. You know, is it the arrogance to sit in Atlanta, Georgia, and try to tell people that Sundays got a lot to offer that Saturdays don't, right? Somebody call me out on that. We'll do that. Also, we'll ask Smoke and Joe Patrick three names that we haven't spent a lot of time talking about that by week 10 of the Falcons season, that's what I'm going to give you. Okay. By week 10, those are guys that could affect if we are headed to an NFC South title. We'll do that when we come back as well. Also, Taylor Swift breaks the intranet. We'll have some cuts from that and Travis Kelce and lots more. Passes 2 hours of radio, Sports Radio 99.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Joe Patrick is here. I used to do a show called The Football Show. For God, maybe 15 years. I was just asking about your Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the most fun shows I've ever done in my 30 years of being on the air. I don't know if you remember. It was at 790. I think I did it. I did it with a lot of Chuck Oliver did it with me for years. I think Cellini did it. I think
Bo Bach on that show.
Bo Bach was on the football show. Yes. So the first hour and a half, 10 to 11:30. Was the first chance to talk college football really on the big sports station.
Mm-hmm.
So the first 90 minutes, dude, I mean, you're coming off a Tech game, a Georgia game, an Auburn game, a Bama game. People come back into town, they're hungover, or listening on the radio. You know, they're like, it was just a wild 90 minutes. And then you go to the Falcon preview part, you know, and you know, you're either down at Falcons or whatever that is. But we weren't the flagship at the time. But I mean, that was. That was a great show. It was a fun show. I'm very relieved that I don't, you know, do weekends anymore. It's like, what are your responsibilities take for the Falcons? I was like, what's that? So what's your responsibility? My responsibility is to go to the Buckhead Butcher Shop. Okay. My responsibility is to play pickleball or feign a workout, right? Maybe a run, walk, and
convince
chest
yourself day. And yeah, others around you.
Get an enormous breakfast sandwich. Make sure that before I hit the couch, I'm near 10,000. You know, I can be at like 8,700 steps.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll get 1,200 in just walking back and forth from the grill, you know? And at some point, you know, there was a chance I'd play catch out in the yard when Bobby was younger. But I mean, you know, just my responsibilities are to make sure at least on Sundays, right, I get to be watching Red Zone. And, you know, I always talk about this. My favorite time of the week is the 425 game, especially when the girls were home and everybody's home. Because, you know, Bo can speak to this, and maybe Bo, I don't know, unless I'm mistaken. Like, the one time you don't have practice or a tournament, ideally you're – listen, that's why you never want to be in that loser's bracket told you're playing at, like, 1:30 in Franklin, Tennessee on Sunday – now, eliminate me at 8:30 a.m. I'll be home wherever we are by, you know, the 4:25 Fox or CBS game.
Right.
Right? It's the one time that the whole family's home, right? You're not at a buddy's house. You're not at practice. You know, even if you're playing high school football, maybe you watch film in the morning. But everybody should be home for that game, right?
Agreed. Not always the case, though. I have 4:15 and 5:45 softball games going into the beginning of softball or football season. So
for how many weeks?
It's going to be about
5:45
about 3 weeks.
Let me just say something. 5:45 Sunday night is not a time to drag 10, 12 years. I mean, that's
passion.
That's not the time to schedule games.
I know.
I mean, the one thing I love about it is that my sister-in-law will come over, invite my buddies. I'll say, like, you know, yeah, and a lot of times, listen, if the Falcons are playing a one-year Falcon fan, you watch, but a lot of times you're still doing stuff on Sundays. You may have all-time, may have whatever. But at 4 o'clock, like, you know, you don't have to stay. You know, you can have a nice Moscow Mule at 3:15 and get ready for the 4:25 games and see how your fantasy comes in and everything else. I mean, again, back to the notion of Sundays versus Saturdays. There's a lot, and usually that's the, you know, that's the Green Bay Lions game, that's the Ravens Chiefs game. You know, you always can tell Kansas City, 6:12 at night. Mm-hmm. It's getting dark. The red white uniforms of Mahomes going up against another, you know, big. Either it's the big interconference game, Dallas is in town, or they're playing in the division. In a big game.
One of the like low-key things I love about the NFL, especially when you get into the second half of the season, after the time change, which I don't know, are we still doing the time change?
Yeah, we're still doing it.
Okay, so we are still doing that, which the one thing I'm happy about, I love when you get into those 4 o'clock games, it's the lights are on, but there's still some light out in the first half, and then by the second half, it's dark. It's a night game, basically, for the second half.
And there's certain teams you associate with that, right?
Yes.
Pittsburgh, KC, Brady in New England, like, you know they're getting the 4:25 slot in Gillette where it's just cold enough in October to be really friggin' cold, right?
Mm-hmm. It's because that's part of the aesthetic that the NFL loves to put out there. You know,
they
and
want,
that's what their product is.
They so like when someone breathes and can see, you know, what is
that? Because
of that
the personal touch,
air.
Yeah, the condensation coming out of the exhaust of the player.
So, like, you know, Saturdays are frantic. Sunday by 4:25, and then if you get a great Sunday night game also. Remember that the Sunday night games at 4:25 do, like, 25 million people, 30 million. Now, Sunday night wins because truly everybody's home at that time.
Yeah.
And NBC owns that. But the numbers on the 4:25 games, that window, CBS gets one and Fox gets one, they alternate. Those are the most massive TV numbers, right?
Yeah, so, and well, it's the TV viewership numbers are really interesting by time slot because it's changed on Saturdays. It's a different dynamic on Saturday and Sunday, right? On Sunday, your families, you got just different situation going on with work, with the work week coming up on the Monday. But Fox Sports has kind of understood that actually on Saturdays, the biggest time slot for viewership is at noon, actually. That's when people are most available to be watching
But
TV.
Are they doing a bigger number than Saturday night?
They are. Fox is.
I want you to look that up. Or Caleb, maybe you can look that up.
I hate this as an Ohio State fan because they go.
You're telling me that 12 noon,
the big noon
big game does better than a Saturday night game.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to look that up. But
you can fact check me on that. I'm pretty sure, though. And
listen,
and
I get
that's why they keep on putting Ohio State on at noon. I hate it. I want to see them play at night.
But they get the noon game to be whatever they want.
Yeah,
Fox doesn't have a nighttime game. They're just like ESPN gets 3:30. Just like the Big Ten. Big Ten and CBS is a 3:30 game. So I'm not exactly sure how the draft works, but the Oregon Penn State's all – because that's what Brad Nessler – and Gary Danielson have moved to the 3:30 Big Ten game,
right?
Which I'm not sure. Obviously, that's not the first pick. The first pick is Fox gets it at noon.
Yeah.
Which is why Texas and Ohio State is going to start the college season, really.
Right.
Week zero is.
And that's what kills me. Like, that should be a night game. That should be a night game with fireworks
going on. Texas
and
Ohio State should just, first time ever, the number one team in America is not favored in their opening game on the road at Ohio State. Just everything you should have, right?
Back in the day, like mid-2000s, Ohio State and Texas played after I think Texas had won a national championship or maybe Ohio State had been in a national championship. That was this huge 8 o'clock night game.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I hearken back to those days.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. The question of Saturdays and Sundays was something emphatic, right? You know, I understand that if it's 4 o'clock on Saturday, there's literally 12, you know, forget about ESPN Plus, maybe 8 games on. If you go ESPN 1 and 2, you go ABC, CBS, NBC, especially with Notre Dame, could be in the mix as well. Then there's maybe a FS1 game. I mean, you are bouncing around there. Totally different than the NFL. You got one game and you got Red Zone. In some cases, only 3 or 4 games being played. So it's a different dynamic. And how many of those other games do you really care about on a Saturday versus Sunday? I ask you that question. Is there a certain time of year, time of day, where you most associate with football? I just told you what mine is. Like, especially when Atlanta actually goes through a changing of the weather. So you're like in October, you know, you go outside and you're grilling out. It's just cold enough that maybe you got a sweater on, but you are, you know, getting ready for a big Sunday night of football. And your fantasy team is coming into play and the whole deal. 404-726-0929. Give me three Falcons that by week 10, if we are rolling, we hadn't thought about these guys, they could be having the year, and all of a sudden they're a regular conversation on this radio station.
Well, I don't know if it's not thought about, but the first one that comes to my mind is Darnell Mooney, and obviously he's a big-time player for this team, but he's missed entire training camp. We have not been really talking about him other than his return. What is he going to be? I think he could be a total game changer for the team, like he was last year. I mean, like the connection that he had with Kirk Cousins last year, I think really helped this offense take a big step. But I think that the attributes that he has really fit with Penix.
All right, give me another guy.
Brandon Dorlus. We didn't see much of him last year at all, and I think that he's ready to be unleashed by Nate Oley and this defensive line coach. And then the last one, Divine Diablo. No one talks about him. He's a starting linebacker for this team. And with the mobile quarterbacks that every NFL team has to face, but the Falcons in particular, especially that week four, week five.
Divine Diablo could be a reason our defense is way better than we're thinking.
I think so. I mean, I should say week four, week six. Week four, they played Jaden Daniels, and then week six, they played Josh Allen. I think those are going to be two litmus
both
tests
in the
for
dome.
This Falcons defense.
Both in the dome, right?
Yes, yeah. I believe those are both at home.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, remind everybody, cut down days when every pro football player dreads, but this year, 92.9 The Game celebrating cut down day by giving you a chance to cut down your yard in style. August 27th, 4 o'clock, when the pro football cut deadline hits, we'll be giving one lucky listener a Rolux Reel Mower. It's a chance to win the ultimate tool to cut down your yard in style. For contest rules and enter, visit 92.9thegame.com. Also, 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock hour, or at least this hour, is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, the best professional guys in the business when it comes to pressure washing. Let's get a quick call before we go to break. Who do we have, Mr. Bobo? Hey, Paul, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's happening, man?
Good morning, guys. Great show. Listen, Dave, I just want to ask, I'm going to make a comment, and I'm not trying to be negative, but I don't hear anybody talking about if we do, and I heard you mention it just slightly earlier today, if we do happen to get an injury, especially at the quarterback level, what do you think those first five ball games are going to be like if we do suffer something where we're having to go to Cousins in the first game?
You know, we're going to be in better shape than 95% of the National Football League because our backup is the best backup in the league.
Yeah.
You know, at least our backup threw for 400 yards last year in certain games, and our backup has played, 14 years in the NFL, so you know, there's a reason we didn't move him.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. And he's been playing really well in training camp, I got to say.
The Kirk Cousins story is not over. And it may not be over in Atlanta. It's not over necessarily for the league. It may be late in the year he's moved. It may be Penix is out a few games. It may be a lot of things. I don't know. Maybe one game Penix goes down and Kirk Cousins rolls on the field late third quarter and, crank up the dramatic NFL music for Kirk Cousins. His story is not over.
I totally agree. Yeah. He's got one more chapter left to be written, for sure.
Me and you are on the same page, brother. Divine Diablo, right?
Elite name. Elite.
All-timer. Double Ds, always. Hey, when we come back, we'll belly up to the bar. The UFC, they're going to hold something somewhere that in a million years, you never thought that could happen, but we're in a crazy world. We'll tell you about that. Also, Taylor with the Kelsey's shakes. It's like an earthquake on the internet. Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Stake Shapiro, Joe Patrick. Thanks so much for being with us. Saturday or Sunday, you got a strong case. It's an ongoing conversation. This is probably the best city to do it, although, actually, what do you think would be the close? I'd say college is going to win here, right, in a town like Atlanta.
So. Yeah.
If you had to, say, pick a city where it could be 50-50, neck and neck, college and pro, in terms of taking calls or if there was a survey done, I'm thinking like Big Ten country.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Ohio. My family's from Ohio, and it's kind of, you got some.
But if the Browns were better.
Right, yeah.
I mean, Browns tradition is great, but what's more important in Ohio? the Browns on Saturday or the Buckeyes on Browns on Sunday or the Buckeyes on Saturday?
What's interesting in Ohio is that just based on the particular area where you're in, it can be totally different. In Columbus, obviously, that's like Ohio State is a professional football team. If you go on the radio, that's all they're talking about.
Are they
Cincinnati's totally different.
I mean, when Brian Sipe is there and they're going to AFC championships and Kevin Mack and Ernest Biner and all that.
Well, like my aunt and uncle, they live in Dayton, Ohio, and they grew up huge Browns fans, and their basement is like a shrine to the Browns.
Bernie Kosar, Brian Sipe, that era. How good was Ohio State then? I think really good. That would have been the Woody Hayes era as well, so that would have been close. I don't know. Maybe somebody has a thought on that as well. 404-726-0929. Let's talk about the fight yesterday and Michael Penix. What were you thinking when all that stuff broke out?
Well, it's funny because I was standing by the end zone right where Ray McLeod scored the touchdown that ultimately led to the brawl. Yeah. So he scores. I'm starting to take notes in my notebook and start to tweet, and then all of a sudden I look up and I just see an absolute mass of humanity. I knew it was crazy when Jesse Bates was in the scrum when he should have been on the other field, but he was on the sideline from where it was. So it was kind of wild, and it all happened so fast. But then like the intensity from that point kind of spread like COVID or something. It was like all of a sudden, two plays later on the other field, there was a scuffle going on. Then on special teams, there was one.
I mean, it was hot out there.
It lit the practice up.
Yeah,
for sure.
It was hot. It was, you know, a lot of guys understanding this is it for them in terms of, you know, I mean, the ones will go, but they're not going in preseason. Mm-hmm. This is Raheem Morris's, you know, meter, right, of how his starters look. Because none of them are going to play in the final two preseason games. And this is against another team, and it's all ramped up already. It's super hot. Now, Michael Penix at the bottom of a pile because he says he almost blacked out. Like, somebody said something to him. He has that line about, I'm from Tampa, you don't disrespect me like that.
Yeah.
And then guys, once they realize their quarterback was there, you got Arthur Blank and his son. Then you got Terry Fondo getting in the scrum, pulling guys out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
did you hear the mic'd up that he was on? It was from he was mic'd up for the competitive scrimmage, intra-squad scrimmage that the Falcons had the previous Wednesday. And he throws a beautiful, maybe the biggest highlight pass that he's had this training camp to Ray McLeod for a touchdown in that scrimmage. And you can hear in the mic'd up after he makes that throw, he says, I don't miss on game day, JP. He's talking about James Pierce, who you could see in the picture, who was rushing him on that play. And so I think that that's probably some version of what happened where he, you know, throws a touchdown pass, a deep explosive touchdown pass for Ray McLeod.
Yeah, they didn't like his swagger because they had been talking to him. He throws the deep pass. He said, what do you like? How do you like? Whatever.
Yeah.
And then somebody went across the line, and next thing you know, that's all you're hearing about. There's a brawl. Michael Penix on the bottom. There's 40, 50 guys involved. I mean, it was getting chippy and nasty, and, you know, it was a show for sure, and that's it. Training camp shut down. Meaning it's the last day.
Yeah.
For fans.
Quite a finale.
No doubt.
All the players' families were out there that day, too. A bunch of kids on the sidelines because they have a big family time after that last practice.
Saw all those wives and their kids on the farther end zone, right? Far enough away from the action. Nobody's going to get run over. I guess the Titans are staying up there at Chateau Elan. Mm. Yeah. That's where they were, and now they're headed to Atlanta. They'll stay over at the big hotel, the Signia, right next door. But that's a long week for them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're on the road for the whole week.
And they were on the road the previous week. They were in Tampa. They had joint practice against Tampa last week, played Tampa, then came straight to Atlanta. So they have not been home. It's
what'd
the kind of road trip you do when you're a rebuilding team, I think, and you just got to kind of grind the gears.
Just, dude, this is how it goes.
Yeah.
Right now, we don't have any juice. This is what we're going to do to go play, guys. How'd Cam Ward look, you thought, over the few days?
Tuesday, I thought he was, not to rub it in, but, I thought he was atrocious on Tuesday. And you love it from a Falcons fan perspective. They were getting their hands all over footballs, pressuring him, rushing him. He was making bad decisions. But then I was really, really impressed with yesterday. He comes back and isn't necessarily highlight worthy, but was a lot more protective of the football. The offense just looked like a more professional unit. And it was probably not just him, but everybody. But you got to give credit to him the way he bounced back.
They're going to take their lumps for sure.
Yeah.
I said yesterday, I mean, they're not going to win many games. I think New Orleans, the under 5.5. I don't see how they're going to win many games at all. The NFL's tough. And, you know, you got to get four quarters of ball to get a W. And maybe I'm just hating on the Saints. I think that's one of the best plays. The Saints 5.5. You know, 5-11, 5-12 would be okay. They could be worse than that. Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of wins.
I mean, they feel like the Falcons in 2022, where it's like you don't have quarterback. And I would say the Falcons are probably better positioned with Marcus Mariota at that point at quarterback than the Saints have.
I mean, at least the Tennessee's got some hope by the end of the year that Cam Ward's doing it. All right, we got a lot to get to. Let's get to
What's happening?
What's everyone talking about?
What is happening here?
We've got you covered.
As we belly up.
On the Steakhouse.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dana White makes no bones about his relationship with President Trump or the UFC, and now he's king of the world. He got the $7 billion deal with Paramount. He's got the relationship in boxing. He's promoting the biggest fight in years, right?
And they're both showmen, you know? So they're going to put on a massive UFC event on July 4th.
For boxing.
Oh, for boxing. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was thinking about something else. Yeah, the Canelo Crawford, that's going to be a massive sports day, by the way. Yeah, that Dana White is promoting. I think that could change boxing promotion.
He also talked about where UFC's going to end up.
It is definitely going to happen.
Oh.
I talked to him last night, him being the president, and I'm flying out there at the end of this month, and I'm going to sit down and walk him through all the plans and the renderings, and we're going to start deciding what he wants and doesn't want. But yeah, it's definitely going to happen. Well, think about this. When you were just asking me, you know, at the beginning how I felt about, you know, where we are today, July 4th, 250th birthday of the United States of America, live on CBS from the White House.
Talking about UFC card at the White House. Taylor Swift broke the internet on the New Heights podcast. Caleb, you watched it, right? Until you could not. It literally shut down YouTube.
So the live stream did. I watched it just a little bit later with the wife.
Yep.
When it went live at 7 o'clock, I believe it was somewhere in that like 7:40 range, that everyone's YouTube just started buffering because it dropped out.
You couldn't be more likable than how she was. And Jason Kelce was awesome. Dude, he's so friggin' talented for a dude who just played football. Here she is talking about learning the game, which she knew nothing about.
We're talking about cover 2, cover 4, cover 0, we're learning. I continue to learn.
Maybe somebody else that even knows what those coverages are.
Yeah, I'm not ready to be an analyst right now. Give me 16 months.
Very, very cool. And then she talks about the decision to put Travis Kelce in the middle of the biggest tour in the history of the world.
But I knew you were going to be down for it. I knew you were, if you wanted to do it, like I was never going to pressure you to do it. But the fact that when we were talking about it, we were joking, I saw that little twinkle in your eye where I was like, oh, he wants to do it.
You want me to go on stage?
He wants to do it.
He wants to?
Do you want me to go on stage?
Yeah, you got up there.
I'll do it.
You were so good. Every single beat, his comedic timing is crazy.
Very entertaining. Very likable. We'll hear one more cut here. This is Taylor talking about Jason Kelce when he goes through the window on a freezing cold night. It was the AFC title game, I think it was, in Kansas City.
You flew through the window at light speed. I've never seen someone so big move so fast.
And he surprisingly, he gets more athletic the more beers.
I mean, it's real.
It was wild.
I really should have played in the NFL drunk. I think it would have been better.
Nobody, you know what? Not no. At this point, I would never argue with that. And all of a sudden, like, you're out there in the snow. You're handing me children through the window. Like,
I was trying to.
It's fully.
Not my best moment.
Aren't we all more athletic when we're drunk? At least that's what we like to think. That's what I think, at least.
Jason Kelce is, I mean, the whole thing, dude. Those are three incredibly likable people. And how good did she sound on that? She releases the album cover. What do we do? More numbers on that, Caleb, in terms of new followers and all that at New Heights got?
So I think in just the day on Tuesday after they announced this was going to happen on Wednesday, the New Heights podcast, like their Twitter page and everything, grew by like 500,000 followers. The episode itself is up to 9.5 million views on YouTube, and it was like a 1.3, 1.4 live when it was happening.
That live number is crazy.
Any sports talk guy you listen to that is poo-pooing this or annoyed or irritated, they're an idiot. There's nothing but entertainment and joy around all this. The biggest star in the world, who's a football fan, who just sounds normal. Doesn't she sound normal on that?
Yeah, she
does. Like a girlfriend.
I'm wondering if that's like the first time that she's like kind of put herself out there in that kind of setting.
Yeah, she doesn't ever do.
That was that was the thing she laid out. This is the first podcast she's ever done.
Right. Yeah.
And she does not release albums like this. She announced there's only 12 songs. They're all going to be, what is it called, poppers or something, like all upbeat. She's like, I was so happy during the tour. I wrote it during the tour.
By the way, this goes to the point about audio being such a powerful medium. And of course, this is on video as well. But like, it's just that experience of being able to understand somebody on a different level when they're talking to you.
She sounded awesome. All three of them. Kudos. I'm all about it. All right. We'll play some Three Strikes, get some last thoughts on Smoking Joe. He's been in the trenches with the Falcons for 3 weeks on Sports Radio 92.9.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's 10:42 on a Thursday. I can't even remember. I think I was with Drew Monday, Abe for a couple of days, Smoking Joe. I think tomorrow was Rusty in tomorrow. Anybody know? I think so. I don't know, man.
Speed dating.
Yeah, you know. Had a great time with Abe. He just doesn't get my humor, like my sarcasm. Like, he's just so intense.
Yeah.
It's hard to get him to have fun and loosen up. He's like, I was like, dude, I was just kidding. Okay. I was like, bro, just like, let's, you know. He's like, steak.
Abe embraces debate. He embraces debate more than maybe anybody else at this radio station.
Yeah, he.
He's always got to have the opposing take, you know.
He wants to be an antagonist or the contrarian.
Mm-hmm.
But he does a lot of his research, right? I mean, he's good this way. He's good at his job.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Respect.
Just it was hard to get him to come out of his shell. And then when he told me, like, I said, what was the best thing about the food? I mean, this is when you know there's a disconnect. This was hard. And you know, Abe's a great young man. But I said, you go on a cruise every year with your family. You're on that boat. Norwegian, whatever. I don't know what it was. Carnival. I'm hoping it was at least a Norwegian, right? No offense. I can say that because I know I'm obnoxiously bougie sometimes. But it's like, what was the best food on the entire boat?
Mm-hmm.
It was like the hash browns. I was like, what? Did you hear that, Bo? I was like, you got 20 restaurants. You got all these meals. You got like 7 days. He's like, yeah, the breakfast hash browns, man, they were awesome. It's like, I was like, okay. I don't know how we're going to be friends. We can work together, right?
Yeah. Well, I told you the story when he came over for a UFC card.
Yeah.
And the dinner he brought, he ate a tub of cottage cheese. Runs.
That's the least manly thing I think I've ever heard.
Caleb just looked like, what the hell?
Caleb, have you heard that story?
I had not.
Yeah, yeah.
Abe showed up because he was in training, quote unquote. He's at a UFC fight eating cottage cheese. Like, you can't make that up.
Well, I just found out the other day this man was eating hot dogs for breakfast, and he claimed it was because he was out of breath. And I was like, well, at some point, you just have to draw a line.
Well, he's got a marathon.
There's no shame.
Half marathon. But there's shame if you go in the air and you admit that you eat cottage cheese. Like, you think of UFC at someone's house. You think of cold beer, you know, at least like maybe an onion dip and, some ranch flavored Doritos. I mean, beef jerky, something. You look over at Abe and he's having cottage cheese. He's in his shorts. He said he never wore pants his entire high school life. Not one day.
What?
He wore shorts every day. I mean, he's a bizarre character. Does a nice job, but that was...
No one else like him.
Yeah. Can you give me my big gift to you by John Foy and Associates?
Yeah, we got the Braves and Mets tonight. Bryce Elder going against Kodai Senga. And, you know, Braves seem to have their number here recently, but I don't know. We'll see. It's not looking good. Bryce Elder's got a 6.12 ERA this year versus 2.3 ERA for Senga.
Dude, Bryce Elder is capable of being shelled at any moment.
He is.
I mean, he is a practice on the wrong day. Good day yesterday. You talked about Michael Harris earlier.
Yeah, grand slam.
Is absolutely.
Yeah,
you know,
he changed his batting stance, and not just slightly. I mean, he like really pretty drastically changed a lot about his stance, from the way his leg is kind of set up to where his hands are and all that. And typically, it feels like to me when a guy does that, they're, I mean, Harris was searching, but see it have such great results pretty immediately. So,
we're going to get three strikes done in just a second. Mike Bell just texted and said, I said on the air, Abe, shut up and play ball with steak. So, yeah, it was hard sometimes, dude. He wasn't getting it. Thank you, Mike. I thought Mike Bell was texting me about hearing cottage cheese at a UFC fight. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, is there a three-strike question of like the least manly food? Is there like a least manly food? I think there is, isn't there? Is that a decent three strikes? All right. Least manly food items.
That's a good
least
one.
Least manly food items.
Yeah.
I'd say
just in general, not even for sports, just yeah. in general.
Cottage
cheese has got to be.
Yeah, that's. I mean, at least that's a not a manly food, right?
No,
there.
Not at all.
Your favorite time to watch football the entire week. So just think about your absolute favorite. I say 4:25 on Sunday is just it's a wind down. I like Sunday night football. Sometimes I'm tired though on Sunday night. Second halves are not always easy.
Yep.
Noon's too early on Saturday. Thursday night football, although, you know, sometimes I'm busy and there's not a great history of great Thursday night games.
Mm-hmm.
So your favorite time to watch football the entire week, least manly food item. And I like this one. A fight in sports you will always remember. A fight in sports you'll always remember.
Could that involve like a combat sport, like an actual boxing match?
Oh, that's interesting.
Or are you talking about?
No, I'm not thinking.
Okay, so
of
you want to bar actual combat sports from this?
I want to bar. Thank you for clarifying. So, like, Celtics Lakers, you know, having grown up in that era, the Kurt Rambis takedown and fight after that, Julius Erving and Larry Bird literally strangling. I think who was strangling who? Was it Dr. J was trying to strangle Larry Bird, like, on the court?
Yeah, lots
that?
Of famous charged mounds. You
well,
know,
the Braves
Ryan,
have one of the all-time.
Nolan Ryan beating up
Nolan
Robin
Ryan.
Ventura.
Andres Galarraga.
Yeah, Nolan
one.
Ryan with a headlock, right?
Yeah, Andres Galarraga came out with a flying clothesline against somebody, Jeff Reed or something. Somebody.
Yeah, 404-726-0929. I think we got a winner here. The least manly food item, your favorite time to watch football the entire week, and a fight in sports you'll always remember. If you want to get aboard here and chat with us about that, what are we going to see in the preseason game Friday night?
Yeah, it's Friday night. I mean, I think right. It's like you shrug
your shoulders. Is Kirk Cousins taking a snap in the preseason?
I don't think so. Raheem Morris left it open. He said they were going to talk about it. To me, that typically means no, it's not happening. I don't think the Falcons should do it personally. Like you got backup offensive line in there that has shown that they are shaky at best. I would not risk anything along those lines, especially when you know you got a team like the Rams who could potentially be in the Kirk Cousins market. You never know, but I think for that reason, the Falcons have to treat him basically like he's a starter and protect him as such.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to see many starters in general in this game. Maybe on defense, you might see something similar with these defensive line rotations and stuff.
What's the wideouts game? Dwayne Washington?
Yeah, Casey Washington.
Casey Washington.
Yeah. He's really taken a stranglehold over that Darnell Mooney role while he's been out.
He'll play.
He'll probably play. But like even in the game against the Lions, he and David Sills were the starting wide receivers. They played one series and then were out of there. So we'll see.
So a lot of guys that will not be collecting NFL paychecks.
Yeah, but practice squad checks, which are not bad. That'll last you for a year or two.
And you hang around long enough, end up on the big club, and a lot of things can happen. Only so many places to play professional football. 404-726-0929. Next week, what's the difference in next week? in terms of practice, and then one more game, and then you got that dreadful 10 days before the season
starts. So,
these are the dog days of training camp.
Exactly. So yesterday, from my understanding, yesterday was kind of the end of them kind of being boarded together, you know, rooming together on the campus at Flowery Branch. So training camp in that sense has ended. I think that next week we'll see a lighter practice schedule heading into the final preseason game. And then they kind of get, honestly, like a week off, basically. At least that's how it's been in the past before you go into that week one practice.
Mike Bell, by the way, thank you for participating. Do you remember the Rangers-Bruins fight when the Bruins went in the stands? You got to look at it. You seen this?
When was it?
Bruins went in the stands. They climbed over the glass. This is the 80s.
How do you even get over the glass?
So they literally had to, like, climb over it because some guy hit him with a stick as they were coming off. They had a guy down in the aisle. They took his shoe off, and they started beating him over the head. Google it right now, Bo. Bruins over the glass, and then tell me your first.
It sounds like Happy Gilmore talking about
your first reaction.
Take off a skate.
Yeah. So that was a wild one too, for sure. All right, let's play three strikes. Are Bo and Caleb? Are you guys looking at that video? Look at the video of Bruins Rangers over the glass, where Terry O'Reilly is beating the hell out of a fan. Mike Milbury's in there. Yeah, they just literally climb over the glass and they just get after it. You see that, Bo? They're finding it. All right, we got some fun with three strikes for sure. Let's start with Marine Tim. Hey, Tim, the least manly food item?
Any kind of puff pastry.
Yeah, a quiche is in that category, and I'll do a quiche every now and then. But yeah, what about the fight in sports you'll always remember?
The Malice in the Palace.
Pretty good documentary about that, done by, I don't know, it was Netflix. Also, your favorite time to watch football the entire week?
7 o'clock on Saturday evening.
Yeah, usually it's two or three good games.
That's right? Where I'm at. Yeah, the Saturday night is hard
under
to
the
beat.
Lights. Thanks, buddy. Hey, Rob, give me the least manly food item.
Any kind of sandwich that's been cut down to a finger sandwich, like that you eat with your fingers.
Like a pedophore, I think they call it.
I didn't want to say that on the radio. But yes.
Yeah, no, I'm not afraid. Listen, I love I like Broadway musicals. I can say pedophore.
I gotcha.
Your favorite time to watch football the entire week?
Anytime.
A fight in sports that you'll always remember?
There'll never be a better baseball fight than the Braves and the Padres.
Is that the one just kept going and going, right?
Yeah. Fans and everybody.
Yeah. Back.
Thank you, guys.
Mid-70s. Thank you, buddy. Hey, Will, the least manly food item?
Skinny margarita.
Your favorite time to watch football the entire week?
I like the day drink, so let's go 1 o'clock on Sunday.
All right. Falcons are kicking off. You know you got a full day. Listen, these young people have figured it out with the darties and day drinking and Sundays.
Yeah, part of the grill.
They go to brunch and get after it, but they're in bed at a reasonable.
You have a strategy.
We did American Pie and we'd show up at 9. Do you know what those Monday mornings were like? Or we'd show up at American Pie like 10 o'clock. Like, you know, they're just like, just start at noon, and
fight.
The fight in sports you'll always remember. Thank you.
I'll never forget when Pedro Martinez tossed that Yankees coach, old
Don Zimmer.
Yeah, good one. I've forgotten about
that. I was there. Clemens threw high and tight to Manny Ramirez, which wasn't even that high and tight. And next thing you know, Don Zimmer, at 80 years old, gets tossed around like a rag doll. Give me the – that's it, right?
Yep, that's it.
All right. Any other calls, or we got to wrap things up here? Let's do the responsible thing and move along. Hey, 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by – our folks, who the heck am I talking about? Wise Guys Pro Wash. Pressure washing, the best in the business. Nobody's going to do it any better. I hope Abe's okay. Well, he didn't hear us, but I think somebody, if you see Abe Gordon, wish him luck in his half mile and just say, you got an ixnay the cottage cheese on fight night, right?
Yeah. For your own self-respect, you know.
Yeah, now he's going to be known as cottage cheese boy. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, that's how you end up with the name CeCe. And like 15 years later, people are like, hey, why do they call that guy CeCe? And it's story on the radio.
I think this was on Three Strikes a few weeks ago. We're talking about nicknames.
Yo, what's up, CeCe? Yeah. Hey, what's up, CeCe? Thanks, Caleb. Thanks, Bo. Back tomorrow. Joe, always a pleasure, buddy.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate
thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.